Welcome to the Brimful Life podcast series, where you'll be inspired to never settle in your pursuit of happiness by hearing stories and advice from people who have defined success on their own terms and have taken bold and creative steps to pursue their passions and realize their dreams.
The thing that's really fascinating is when you sort of find what you're passionate about, It's like the universe opens up and all of a sudden you've got these helpers.
From Pippi Longstocking to genome technology to Black history, Laura's creative pursuits are driven by her very diverse passions and interests. Her first book is described as Harry Potter meets Black Panther. And if that's where she starts, imagine where she's going next. Let's meet Laura. My guest today is Laura Heiler. So thank you so much for being here, Laura. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And you are an author.
Yes, I am.
And you are an author of the book called The Stupendous Adventures of Mighty Marty Hayes.
Yes.
That is a full title.
Yeah. It's a fun title.
It's a fun title. So tell us a little bit about the book.
Sure. So this is a 200-page middle grade novel that is appropriate for kids 8 and up, and it's also been very popular with teens and adults, featuring multicultural superheroes who are working on CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing technology in their advanced 7th grade science classroom, and they share a love of spy gadgets.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a rollicking adventure with the science and the spy gadgetry thrown in. And then it's also got a little bit of Black history in it. I'm talking about Black spies. And the main character's granny actually has superpowers and used her powers to help Dr. King during the 60s.
How about that? It's very creative. It sounds exciting and adventurous. This is your first book?
It is my first book. Creatively, I started out writing short stories and screenplays, and I've done that for over a 20-plus year period.
Yeah. But this whole sort of like adventure genre, where did that come from, the spark for that?
Yeah. When I decided I wanted to start writing children's books, and my son and his friends were really the inspiration for that. We have an only child, and I would love the easy batter of boys when his friends would come over and visit us. And so I decided I wanted to write a children's book, and I definitely wanted boy characters, and I have boys and girls in this book. But I grew up with like Pippi Longstocking and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a voracious reader. I still am. And I really love the adventure books. And so I was determined to write that. And then some of the other elements just sort of organically evolved as I was doing reading and research and figuring out what, you know, what my plot would be.
Yeah. Yeah. So you had a couple things that you mixed in here, sort of adventure. You've got characters of color, but also sort of African-American history.
Right.
So tell us like the inspiration for bringing all these different elements together into one book.
Well, the thing that's interesting is I think as an author, you start with sort of a nugget of an idea. And I basically wanted friendship among boys and girls. And then somewhere along the line, I got very intrigued by superheroes, and I started doing a lot of research about, you know, what's in the superhero canon, what are the superpowers, what can I do that would be unique. And then I got into looking into, well, maybe they're friends because they're in a science classroom, and I thought I'd have them working on something simple like volcano explosions. And I thought, well, that's not sustainable through an entire book and certainly not a series. So I'm doing a 3-book series. And I started doing some research and stumbled across this CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing technology and was just absolutely blown away, just totally intrigued. So that became my science. And so I've really been reading about that technology for about the past 3 years.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it just all sort of evolved.
So this fiction book has really also immersed you in a whole nother discipline.
Yes.
Around gene science and
right.
technology and almost becoming like by default a subject matter expert in that.
Somewhat, somewhat. And have been very lucky to meet scientists who, quick story I have to tell you about. So recently ran into a mom whose twin daughters went to school with our son since elementary school and graduated with him 5 years ago. randomly met her in a park, and we were just kind of catching up, what's been going on in the past 5 years. And I mentioned my book, and I go through the whole thing about CRISPR-Cas9, gene editing technology, and she goes, what? I work with that.
Oh.
So she put me in contact with a gentleman, a scientist who is the head of genome R&D for a major multi-corporation, which is worldwide, really, in Missouri. And he's gotten excited about the fact that I'm pairing this with superheroes, and he's lending some expertise.
Mm.
So the thing that's really fascinating is when you sort of find what you're passionate about, mm-hmm. it's like the universe opens up and all of a sudden you've got these helpers.
Yeah.
So that's a very exciting journey.
That's really cool. And it's so mm-hmm. funny because before we turned the mics on, you said, I can always tell when I'm super passionate about some things, I never get tired of talking about it.
That's true.
And
that's
you've
true.
Been on sort of a whirlwind book tour, talking about the book a lot. And so tell me a little bit about some of the places that you've been.
Sure. So my publisher and I moved up the publication date by about a month because I was determined to go to one of the largest book festivals in the country, the Tucson Festival of Books, which is held annually in Arizona. So I went there 2 weeks after my book was published. And I have a 7-foot banner that I travel with that has the cover of the book, so they can see the quartet of superheroes that I have. And two of the kids are children of color, and two are Caucasian children. And I tell you, I have kids of every nationality running up to this sign when they see mm-hmm. it, because suddenly, you know, they see themselves reflected. They recognize that there's a superhero element. And so I started there. I've been all over the Midwest, from Chicago multiple times, and going back there this month. Definitely have been all over Wisconsin, Green Bay, Sheboygan,
mm-hmm.
Washington Island, which is just off of Door County multiple times.
And what are
times.
Some of the things that you, when you're interacting with kids, with readers mm-hmm. of your book, what are some common themes that you hear from them? What gets them really excited about your book?
Sure. I'm thinking of a tour that I had to the Barnes & Noble at Washington, D.C., a few months ago. And the thing that strikes me, not only there but everywhere, is that kids can relate to magic.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first media outlets that did an interview compared this book, they called it Harry Potter meets Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be the perception I get when I show up, because you could tell that there's magic happening from the cover of the book. And kids are fascinating to learn about science.
Mm-hmm.
I find that they don't see it as some sort of off-putting class that they're taking. They see it as being wrapped up in how the world operates, and they're very curious at that middle grade level.
Interesting.
So I get some really interesting questions about that, and it's fantastic. I mm-hmm. love the interaction with kids.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely love it. I've gone from a classroom of 20 kids to being appearing at the Sheboygan Children's Book Festival, which is wonderful, held every year. And they will ask if you're interested in school visits. And I had 200 kids for the morning assembly, 250 for the afternoon assembly. And if you walk into a place like that and you're just a little bit sluggish, you're going to quickly get on your P's and Q's with the questions.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating. I love it.
Now, you also said when the kids on your book tours and your festivals see your big poster, they get super excited. So
mm-hmm.
tell us a little bit about what that's about, because you shared some interesting stats, I think, when it comes to the representation of children of color.
Right.
Literature.
Right. I think, you know, we have some children that are sort of naturally gravitating towards books, and there's another whole category that's called reluctant readers.
Mm-hmm.
I contend that the reason we have reluctant readers is kids don't see themselves. They don't see books that they can readily relate to.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an annual survey that's done by University of Wisconsin's Department of Education. The center is called Cooperative Children's Book Center. They receive about 3,500 books from publishers all over the country every year, and they take a look at representation. So they take a look at who are the main characters and who's writing the books. So they just produced an infographic with their 2018 figures, and 23% of the books featuring children that were African or African American, Asian Pacific, Islanders, Latino, American Indian, First Nation children was about 23%. Mm-hmm. The other big category is animals, 27%. So mm-hmm. let that sink
more
in.
Than,
more
yeah.
animal representation than children of color. And 50% of the books that are produced every year for children are featuring white kids as the main characters. So picture this, when a kid goes into a library or goes into a bookstore and they're looking for a book that they feel they can relate to, mm-hmm. it's like they're not always finding themselves.
Right.
So I started out just wanting to write a fun story, stumbled across this situation. There's a national initiative called We Need Diverse Books that a lot of authors are behind, a lot of publishers are behind. And so we're slowly seeing these statistics improve.
Okay.
But I encourage people of all races, all immigrant statuses, LGBTQ status, differently able to purchase books of main characters for their children that don't have their situation, don't look mm-hmm. like them, because we are a global society and children need to read about each other.
Right.
So it's starting to change, but it's a slow change. So yeah. I usually wind up somehow mentioning this in pretty much all of my talks. And mm-hmm. I've had probably about 22 appearances in the last 14 months.
So what's interesting is when you said your own inspiration for adventure type books when you were young were like mm-hmm. Pippi Longstocking
yep.
and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Right.
So they do not have diverse characters in those books.
Right.
So did that leave some type of impression with you that when you had the opportunity to be an author yourself that you wanted to take a very different approach?
It was, in my experience, I was just sort of like, it never even occurred to me mm-hmm. to raise that question as mm-hmm. a little Black girl growing up in Racine. But because I was such a voracious reader, what I did was my parents very much encouraged reading. They bought encyclopedias really early. We had a library at home. I would go to the school library, I would go to the public library, and I would go up to the counter and ask for books that reflected my culture, and especially a famous Black Americans. And so it was interesting to me when I reflected on all this as an adult that somehow I knew to raise those questions,
right.
even as, you know, an elementary school student. But I'm not so sure that kids make that connection until a little bit later, and then they start asking why. Why not?
Right,
why
right.
am I not there?
Yeah, no, I totally hear you. So, all right, so a lot of success with the book.
Mm-hmm.
You are now contracted for a 3-part series.
Correct.
Getting deeper into the whole gene technology.
Right.
And what next?
And Spy Gadgets. I must mention Spy Gadgets.
Go ahead.
Spy Gadgets came about because my husband and son and I took a family trip to the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C.
Oh, fun.
And they have all of these interesting exhibits, and you can crawl around. And I found myself crawling around more than my kid did. So I said, oh, Spy Gadgets. And that became a part of the book. And
yeah.
I started all that research. And the book is actually for sale at the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C.
That's
as
so
well
fun.
As bookstores everywhere. If not on the shelves, special order within 2 to 3 days.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's what's next is I have found that it really helps an author to write in unusual spots,
mm-hmm.
to really think about mixing it up, because it really kind of gets the brain thinking differently.
And you mean actually physically going to
physically.
Unusual locations?
Yes.
What would be your favorite unusual location?
So here's what I do. I can write almost anywhere. I take my laptop, but if I'm in a place where there's sunshine, I will take a notebook, and that really kind of gets a different part of the brain going when you're not at
yeah.
a keyboard, when you're writing by longhand. One of the favorite things for me to do is to go to a residency. So there's
okay.
these artist residencies all over the world. And I have been fortunate enough to be accepted in Martha's Vineyard a couple of times, twice in Door County, trip to France at the Marnay-sur-Seine artist residency in 2017. I'm going back to France, this time to the south of France in Cassis, in March of next year. And not only do you get some rejuvenation in your writing, but you meet fellow artists from all over the world.
Right, yeah.
And you get a lot of inspiration from that, and you make a lot of friends, and you stay in contact for years.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Which I think is important, because I think writing can be a lonely endeavor sometimes.
Very much,
right?
Very mm-hmm. much. And in fact, one thing I really advise authors is, writers and would-be authors, is to really think in terms of, you do have to make the transition to marketing your own books.
Mm-hmm.
And so you definitely want to have some kind of community of artists that you have as critique partners, that you join organizations such as the Society of Children Book Writers and Illustrators, which I joined in 2015 and gave me a jump start.
Okay.
Because you really learn a lot of the about the publishing industry doing that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you gave some really good tips in terms of writing. It sounds like you make sure that you're always writing. Find unique and different locations to exercise a different part of your brain that will help maybe express yourself a little bit differently. And to invest the time in thinking in terms of marketing.
Right.
Any tips that you've learned on the marketing side of things? So a would-be author who has aspirations to get published, what might you suggest that they do?
There's a wealth of things that you can do, I think, to really reach your audiences. One of the first things is for authors to think about getting professional reviews for their book. So you've got everything from like School Library Journal to Kirkus Reviews to Midwest Book Review. I wound up getting a very positive review from Kirkus Reviews, which turned out to be extremely helpful with librarians and educators. Definitely want to have your website platform. You want to select the social media outlets that you think are going to reach reading audiences. Definitely responding to requests for proposals. I've been fortunate enough to go to several different national conferences because I just responded to a request for a proposal, proposed a workshop, sold my books after my talk. Book festivals are always looking for authors. You know, you can go to the general audience book festivals as well as the children's book festivals and look at, Twitter accounts and Facebook accounts for all of these outlets and become an active voice out there. The other thing I highly recommend is having an Amazon author page.
Okay.
Because everyone who, my book is distributed through the two largest global distributors. I do track it on the internet. I find that I'm in 12 countries right now. And all of these happy accidents happen because you're on these global internet platforms.
Yeah.
So the Amazon author page will allow you to put out some bio information, keep your reviews there. Let people know where you're going to be appearing next. So that's just a handful.
Right. I love
but it. I would say be active and do it every day.
Yeah, I love it. Well, those are really good, practical, and actionable tips. Well, congratulations on the success of the book.
Thank you.
One of many and more to come.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
I think it's exciting that who knew that this book would take you in all of the different directions that it has in terms of the science and gadgets. And it sounds like you're having a lot of fun with it.
I'm having great fun. And the last thing I would say to any author who says, how do I get there? I've taken the time to speak to people who are very interested in getting their books published. And I will say the first thing is butt in the chair. The first thing is to write every day, put the work in, and then just really think about what your goals are and how to set your goals and not to lose sight of that.
Yeah.
So
it starts first by putting those words on the page.
It really does.
You can't have anything to sell if you don't have a book.
Exactly.
You can't have a book if you're not going to write.
That's right. So thank you so much for having me, Beth.
Thank
this has been
you.
Fantastic.
I appreciate it.